May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 301. Well, at length I plainly see, every man is vanity, in his best and brightest form, but a shadow or a worm. 301.
Thank you. morning I wish to read from two portions of God's holy word. Firstly, the Acts of the Apostles and part of chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and we will commence reading at verse 14. This is the day of Pentecost, and Peter standing up and speaking to the people after the Spirit had been poured out upon them. So Acts chapter 2 and from verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapour of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, But he himself saith, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now let us turn to Paul's epistle to the Ephesians and reading part of chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll commence reading at verse 17. From verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the Church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the Church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. May the Lord bless that reading of his holy word and help us in prayer. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, we seek to bow before thy majesty, Lord, thy greatness and thy power. Thou art the ever-living God. Lord, thou art he in whom we live and move and have our being. Lord, thou changest not. We come before thee as changeable creatures. Lord, we have sung it in our first hymn, but Lord, we do rejoice that thou remainest the same. Lord, thou art he in whom our hope of heaven rests. And Lord, thou hast said, because I live, ye shall live also. O Lord, we thank thee for that thou art he upon whom all our hopes centre, and that thou art the foundation of the Church of God, the hope of all thy people. O Lord, we do thank thee for thy long-suffering, forbearance and tender mercies. Lord, if it was not for thy free mercy, we could not dwell here. O Lord, daily we receive it, daily we feel our need of it. O Lord, debtors we are to thy mercy constantly. Now, Lord, thou hast gathered us again into thine earthly courts. Thou hast brought us here where thine honour dwelleth. Thou hast brought us into the assembly of thy people, and, Lord, under the promise of thy presence, and to hear the preaching of the gospel. Lord, to hear thy word, to gather with thy people, to worship thee and to praise thy name. O Lord, do grant that we might be found in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And Lord, as we come in, Lord, do remember any that come in so wearied of earth and wearied of themselves, feeling so vile, so unfit, so unclean. O Lord, we would come into thy house as the sick that need the physician, as, Lord, those that need mercy. And, O Lord, may it be that through thy word today that thou dost satisfy the needs of each poor soul, that thou dost come where they are, that thou dost lift them up, that thou dost do them good, that when we get to the close of the day, that we might be different than we were at the beginning, that something has been done in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, thou didst pass by those that were blind, but thou didst stop and open their eyes. Do that for some poor soul here today. Thou didst come where the sick were and they were sick, but Lord, by the time thou had finished with them, that thou hast healed them and thou hast restored them. Do that for some poor sin-sick soul here this day. O Lord, thou didst come to those that were devil-possessed. O Lord, thou didst not leave them like that. Thou didst cast out the devil, cast out the unclean spirit, and thou didst cause that they were sitting, clothed in their right mind, and sitting at the feet of Jesus. O Lord, do that for some poor soul here this day. Remember, Lord, those that are plagued by their own heart, tempted by the adversary, those that cannot say anything good about themselves, but must hang their head in shame, must mourn the defilement within, and mourn many resolutions and desires that there might be a change. And yet we prove, as the hymn writer said, nor may I promise future good to bring. O Lord, we come before Thee, seeking that help from the sanctuary, strength out of Zion, seeking that we might know Thee more, and that Thou hast put forth Thy power, and save us from ourselves, save us everlastingly. We pray that Thou hast sanctified the pathway of each one. Lord, there are those in trial here, there are those in bereavement. Lord, there are those that have that which is secret, not known to any other. For every heart knoweth its own bitterness, and a stranger doth not meddle with his joys. And, O Lord, do remember those then that are bowed down. Remember each one in their need, and bring together Thy word with Thy providence this day. Meet, Lord, in Thy timing the need of Thy people. Lord, do grant Thy word to be suitable. Grant it to be applied. Grant it to come from Thee as a living word, no strange fire, but that which is off the heavenly altar. Touch one's lips with, Lord, a coal from there, and make it be that it is Thy voice that does speak. O Lord, do put us in Thy hand and glorify Thy most blessed name. Magnify Thy grace. Exalt Thy beloved Son. O Lord, do Thou work in sinners' hearts and form a people for Thy praise. Lord, bless the children, the little ones here. We thank Thee for them. Do work in their hearts while they're young. Help the mothers, Lord, those that will no doubt this day have their minds half upon the children, Lord. We've known the path of fathers also. Grant that there might be one word even that does break through, that is heard, that they might go home and truly feel that they have gleaned a little in Boaz's field. Oh, do grant even some handfuls of purpose, Lord, for Thou knowest the need of each here. Oh, Lord, we do thank Thee for Thy kindness and goodness, Thy provision of Thy beloved Son, the precious blood shed at Calvary. We thank Thee for that everlasting love of God that brought Him to suffer and bleed and die for our sins. We thank Thee for Thy precious word in our own tongue that reveals these things to us, and Thy blessed Spirit that seals them upon our hearts. O Lord, we do thank Thee for the gospel, the ordinances of Thy house, and for the dear brethren. O Lord, we thank Thee for providential mercies, Thy kindnesses to us in many ways. Thou art a good and gracious God, both naturally and spiritually. Thou dost open Thy hand, Thou dost satisfy the desire of every living thing, Thou dost feed the sparrows, Thou dost give food to the beasts of the earth, and Lord, Thou dost provide for Thy people. We thank Thee for these things. We pray for a thankful heart, a heart from murmur free. Lord, do grant unto us this blessing. And Lord, as we so often feel so low because of our sin and shame, Lord, let not our sins, Lord, which are our doing, rob Thee of Thy praise and honour and of glory, for Thou art the same. O help us to come, And though we might be like Mephibosheth, lame in both our feet, O bring us to the King's table today. O may we know covenant mercy, covenant blessings. Bless, Lord, the dear deacons of this cause of truth. Uphold and strengthen them, help them, and be with the church here, and bless the church. Lord, thou knowest their need here. Remember the congregation as well, and do shine upon the church in this place, and be pleased to appoint for them again a pastor, one that shall go in and out amongst them. Lord, it is thine order. It is that which thou hast promised to give pastors after thine own heart. So do appear for them. O show them, do exercise their hearts, make them of one heart and one mind. O leave them not to settle satisfied with an itinerant ministry. We thank thee for it and we pray thy blessing upon the word today. But Lord, do grant that thou hast grant to them a settled pastor and under-shepherd over them here. O Lord, we do seek of thee help now. Lord, we are permitted to gather. We pray for our rulers and all in authority over us. Lord, we mourn on account of the abominations done in the land. But we do thank thee that we have that freedom to gather round thy word now. Do now shine upon it and bless it to us. And help us, Lord, in speaking and each in hearing. Lord, do undertake for us, for thou knowest our need, our own poverty. But Lord, that fullness is in thee. Make us to be a pipe, a channel. And Lord, may it find its end in some poor sinner's soul. We ask through thy name, with the pardon and forgiveness of our every sin, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 169. Some wise men of opinions boast and sleep on doctrines sound, but Lord, let not my soul be lost on such enchanted ground. 169.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to our first reading, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, and the last verse and the last part of that verse, verse 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the last part. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. This is a short summary concluding a chapter which is a foundation chapter for the church of God. We can look back to the first chapters in the whole of the Word of God, and in Genesis we can find foundations for many of the truths of God. It truly is a book of beginnings. But when we come to the New Testament and we come to the beginning of the Church of God, the time when the Lord had promised to pour out his Spirit and bade the apostles to tarry at Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. You can see the pattern of the New Testament church set forth here. Now, I do want to make that clear, that it is a New Testament church, because there has ever been a church. When Stephen was dying, he spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was he that was in the church in the wilderness. The Lord has always had his church, a people that are his church, not just buildings. That's not a church. It is a people, a saved people that make the church. But here in the second of Acts, we have the pattern that is given. The Holy Spirit poured out, the effect of that Spirit. We have the preaching of the Word, and the effect of the preaching of the Word, men and women brought under conviction, crying out what they must do, pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, pointed to the ordinances of the house of God for those that believe and gladly receive the word. And then following from that, the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper. We have a real pattern in Acts chapter 2 of the order in the church of God. And may we hold fast to that. A solemn thing when people can look at it, read over it, and they say, well, no, we don't agree with that. There's not other parts, the word, we need some other parts that speak of this. And a very solemn thing in that way. Just recently talking to one of the new pastors in Cranbrook of the Methodist Church, and he could not see the order at all of the vital necessity of baptism before the Lord's Supper. And that baptism was joined with believing. The two were inseparable. If there's a believer, then the soul was obedient. And in that obedience, they were baptized, and then came the Lord's Supper. And that is the divine order. But he couldn't see it, didn't want to see it, wanted to see it as not necessary. Well, we have the pattern that is set forth here. Dear friends, may we always desire that we be found in the Word of God, not shaping the Word of God to what we want. But if we are to be saved, it is to be saved in the Lord's way and by the Lord's power, and that we are to be numbered with the Lord's dear people by his work. And we read of this here, is the Lord adding unto the church daily such as should be saved. There is a distinct difference between the church and the world. God brings his dear people out of the world, and he numbers them amongst his people, and the church and the world shall never ever be at one. Whosoever is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. The world is at enmity with God, but the Church of God, may it be the desire of each one of us here to be part of that one church, to be part of the redeemed family of God, and that it be not an indifferent thing with us. We are either in the church or out of the church, either saved or lost, either redeemed or shall die in our own sins. May we be delivered from just coming and going to the house of God and not realizing that we have set before us here the ways of life, and that our soul is a precious thing, and that these things concern us, not just as we've had sung concerning just doctrine that won't save us. It must be life and power in our souls to enter into our souls, a real living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, truly to know him and truly to be placed by him amongst his people. And so we read of this here, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. But with the Lord's help, I want to look at two main points. Firstly, to view the Church of God as set before us in the Word of Truth. And then secondly, to notice four things concerning the addition to the Church of God. But firstly, to notice the Church of God. And I want to look at it in two ways. I want to look at it first in how it is in God's sight, what it is in Christ, and then look at it how it is here below. I want it first on the most grand scale, beautiful scale, most blessed way it can be seen, the Church of the Living God. Remember when the Lord was speaking to Peter, and Peter's name was Cephas, a stone, and he said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock," and in meaning himself, "upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The apostle says that the other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The Church of God has this one foundation stone. It has that which it is built upon the foundation of the prophets and apostles, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. It is all set forth in the Word of God. The Church of God is described from beginning to end. In the very beginning, we have the church as a persecuted, martyred church, the blood of Abel. But we have at the end that beautiful picture of the New Jerusalem, the church descending out of heaven and out of God, the bride of Christ, all glorious, redeemed, the people of God. When Paul was going to Jerusalem, he was not to go to Ephesus, but he called the elders of that church, that local church, and he charged them, and he said that they were to feed the Church of God over which the Lord had made them overseers. And he says this, that church which he hath purchased with his own blood. The Church of God is a purchased people. The apostle says, "Ye are not your own, ye are bought with a price. Wherefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his." That Church of God is a church that has been known and foreknown by God eternally. The people that make it up are in that word, thine they were and thou gavest them me. They are in the hand of the Lord. The Lord is in the midst of them. The Lord knows every one of them. The church of God is set before us most beautifully, and this is why we read of the portion in Ephesians. And yes, it is on one hand using the church to magnify and show forth the beautiful ordinance of marriage, but it's also using marriage to show what the church is. The apostle says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. That is what he speaks of. And when you look at that passage there, how much is spoken of the church in verse 23 of 5th of Ephesians? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. The people of God, the church of God, and Christ is the head of that. And he is the saviour of the body. The church of God is Christ's body. Every member of it, the least unto the greatest, they all make up the body of Christ. He says, wherefore is the church is subject unto Christ. Another picture of the church. A beautiful subjection unto Christ. Under him as their head, as their friend, as their heavenly bridegroom. The church of God into this beautiful, special, blessed relationship as the bride of Christ. Those of you that are married here, count that a blessed relationship, a blessed covenant. And we have here the church of God set forth in that way, united unto Christ. We have also the love of Christ. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Poor sinners, hell-deserving sinners, nothing in themselves, and yet Christ loved that church from everlasting. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And he gave himself for it, came from his glory to this earth, took upon him the form of a servant, is made like unto the flesh, made like unto his brethren, yet sin accepted. And all of this for his church and for his people, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. The church is the subject of the work of God. In redeeming, in washing, in cleansing, in sanctifying, the attentions of Almighty God are upon his dear people. His delights are with the sons of men and in the habitable part of his earth. He delights in his people. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. The church, the people of God, those saved people, are nourished and cherished by the Lord. And you think of this in the marriage situation, how particular that is. The husband that nourisheth and cherisheth his own wife, he doesn't do to someone else's wife or someone else in the village. is very particular, the care, the love that he has over his wife. And we have this picture with the church. We have in Hebrews spoken of as the church of the redeemed, which are the firstborn, which are in heaven. Those that are the recipients of firstborn blessings. In the Old Testament was special weight put upon the blessings of the firstborn. That was the whole thing with Jacob seeking to take that blessing from Esau. There was a firstborn blessing. But lest anyone should think that it literally ran in a firstborn, was Cain blessed? No, Abel was. Was Esau blessed? No, Jacob was. And so it is not in the natural run, but those that are spiritually firstborn, that have the blessings. Why, in one sense, dear Isaac, he struggled to find a blessing for Esau. He had given everything unto Jacob. Yes, he could give him earthly things. And he did give him earthly things. And later on, Esau, when Jacob wanted to give him things, he says, I have enough. Did he? He didn't have spiritual blessings. He didn't have his God satisfied with earth. But Jacob had the firstborn blessing. The church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Dear friends, may we not have small views of the church of God, the blessing that the Lord has blessed and bestowed upon poor, hell-deserving sinners, the work that he has done for them and the work that he does in them, his constant care over them, his nourishing them, in spite of all what they are and all what they do. They are what they are by the grace of God, and they are precious to the Lord. Whoso toucheth you toucheth the apple of mine eye. May our views of the church and of the people of God, the redeemed people of God, be according to the word of God. May we never think mean thoughts of that company of sinners that the Lord has seen fit to really the whole plan of salvation in all that was done, all the promises, all the blessings, all his sufferings, all the church, all the blessings for the church of God, all centered upon that people. May we view the church of God, the redeemed, the people of God, as that which we really desire. Lord, may I numbered with them be now and to eternity. And that I might not be a stranger to that church, a stranger to that people, indifferent whether I am in it or out of it, whether I am numbered with those that are saved or numbered with those that are lost. May the desire of some of you here be, disappointed, I long to know, am I his or am I not? Do I love the Lord or no? No, it is a vital question that we be found asking ourselves. How stands the case, our soul with God? Well, we have the church of God set before us in this way. But then we have the church of God that is on earth. And I no doubt there's many of you here, and perhaps the young ones, when we mention the church of God, you think, well, you might think of our churches in our little denomination up and down the land. You might think of the church here, and you think of it as the building and as the people that gather there, the church at Swayze, the church at Cranbrook, and you just think of it perhaps in a vague way like that, and you're looking at the building, the gathering of the people together, maybe you might look at it and you do think of those as the baptized members, that they are the church. And that is so. The church of God are those that are believers and are baptized and joined together voluntarily, willingly, into church fellowship with the Lord. Those who have known the Spirit's work. We hope to look at that a bit later. But what do we see outwardly? The church is made up here below of sinners. They still have their old nature. They're not faultless. They're not spotless. They have their own different characters. But they are the Lord's church. I don't want to in any way excuse wrong behaviour or anything in the church of God. But you will not find a perfect church on earth. And if you do, don't join it, because it won't be perfect anymore. Beyond the grave and in Christ, it is perfect. But the people of God feel very much their own infirmities, their need of grace, their need of help. The Lord has always known and does know the very nature of his people and the nature of his church. We can only look at the churches in the New Testament, the letters to them. We think of the Corinthian church. Many things that the apostle wrote to that church, it was because of errors. Errors in how they were conducting the Lord's Supper. They're abusing it, they're using it as a feast. So those without the church hadn't got food and they were using it to eat. He said, you've got your own homes to eat in. Don't abuse the church of God like that. He's writing to the church. He writes to the church and he says there were some among them that said there was no resurrection. Errors in the church. We have those that in the church that were preaching Aquila and Priscilla. I think I might have got that wrong, but and Apollos. Apollos was preaching, but not the way perfectly. Priscilla and Aquila took him aside, explained it more carefully to him. Not perfect. Doesn't mean it wasn't the church. Doesn't mean that they're not the Lord's people. There's a fallout between Paul, between Mark. So heated they must part their ways. Doesn't mean it is not the church. Very sad that it should happen like that. The Lord says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples indeed, in that ye love one another. The whole nature comes through, reconciled afterwards, we read. We need to have not only scriptural views of the grandeur and greatness of the church in Christ and its privileges and blessedness, but to be truthful and real as to what the church is in God's purpose and providence. It's vital for this. You know, if dear Hannah could go up to Shiloh and pray and get answers to prayer, and then later bring her son up and leave him at Shiloh, how should we be ashamed to come to the church of God? Now at Shiloh, it was such a low condition that Eli couldn't even recognize a poor praying soul. And his sons were committing such wickedness there. But it was the place where the ark was, it was the church, it was where the Lord would have his people come to. I always remember years ago, a dear lady now in glory that joined us at Cranbrook. She transferred us from another church and she spoke about the first church that she joined many years ago. And she said, when I joined it, she said, I knew that there was trouble in the church. But she says, I wasn't joining with man. She said, it is the Lord's church. She said, I was joining the Lord's church. And she was able to look above that. She wasn't stumbled that there was things that were troubling that church. A view above it to the great head of the church. And so may we have real views in that way, as she is to be viewed in the way that the scriptures set her forth. Very early on, if we look at the surrounding chapters here, we think of Ananias and Sapphira. Great fear came upon the church. Then we read about the persecutions of Saul, a church that was persecuted, men haled to prison and persecuted because of the world, hated of all men. This same church that is so blessed and favoured by Christ and nourished and kept by Christ, and yet in the world you shall have tribulation, but in me you shall have peace. Outwardly, many troubles, but inwardly, the Lord with his dear people in their hearts, walking in them. There's his comfort. In me ye shall have peace. We need to have this balance of these two sides of the church of God. If we only have one, if we only have the view of its glories in Christ, then as soon as we get things that are not quite right, troubles, trials from within, false brethren, things that come up to trouble, then we are offended. We think, oh, this can't be the church of God, and you start to despise it. But if we know what is real, if we know what's in our heart, why, forbearing one another in love, tender, walking with each other as poor fellow travellers to eternity, those who also in the flesh, helping one another, strengthening one another, sharpening one another, building each other up. If we only have the view of how it is on earth and we completely lose sight of what the church is in Christ and all the blessings in Christ, then we start to despise the church and despise the brethren, hold it in contempt. Oh, I'm not going to join that company, and start to have low thoughts of it. We need the two balanced thoughts and views of the church of God, inseparable to Christ. Christ who is the head, Christ whose church it is, and who has ordered all parts of it, all parts of it. Well, I want to notice then in the second place four things concerning the additions to it. We read here, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The first is that the Lord added to the church. Now may we be very clear in this, from eternity, that church has been complete in the mind of God. We said before, thine they were, thou gavest them me. Those that are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, there shall be none added, but that already are in the election of grace. Those that are chosen in him from the foundation of the world. But at any one time, or we think as the time is now, with the one church of God, out of every nation, kindred and tongue, there is only one redeemed church in that sense. There are some that are now in glory. There are some that are on earth and they have been called by grace and they are walking as the Lord's people in church fellowship in a local church here below. There are some that have been born into this world and yet they are still dead in trespasses and sins. They are like Samuel who did not yet know the Lord. He was to know the Lord. There was to be a day of grace coming. There was to be a change wrought. There are some like that. May that be the hope of some of you here that know not the Lord yet. The devil will say you never will. But may you remember that which you said of Samuel, he did not yet know. There is a time to know the Lord. And then there is a people that are not yet born. Those that will be born into this world, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, those then that shall be called, placed amongst his people. But what we have here is speaking of those that are born, but those that are born again of the Spirit. Those that are to be openly joined together with believers. Those that are to be joined to a local church. The apostle, he ordained elders in every church. Each local church is a little type of the one church of Christ. It's why it's so vital in one local church that those church members see eye to eye. You might say, well, we have some very good friends in Holland and in the Presbyterian churches, and they don't hold with believers' baptism, but we esteem them as the Lord's people. They can't see as we do as the scripture pattern, but as the root of the matter, as faith in Christ, we love them in the Lord. How is it so? But you can't have that in the one church. And the Lord uses that sometimes. When I was first called and I went over to New Zealand, and I found there, and when you think of in Australia, we had very few brethren. There's few I could walk with in the Lord at all. And I went over to New Zealand and there were some dear brethren there. And I really loved them. And you know, I could easily have just moved from Australia and gone to New Zealand, but they held to infant baptism. And I couldn't go along with that. I couldn't join with that at all. And it was what kept me in one place and them in the other. Why the Lord used that, I know in my case, the Lord used it in providence in that way. But when you have a local church, one church, it's vital that in all the matters of their practice, and when we have the Lord's Supper, it is those that join with us of the same faith and order. Now, I think I quite often get the questions, why this strict communion? Why do you have to? You know, if we're believers, why can't you allow others to sit down? I say, no, if you have one church, and you have those members, they all sit down and they believe the same thing, they hold the same thing, they walk together in how that they believe, they drink into the same truths. And if there's one that goes contrary, then you will discipline them or deal with them. You can't then take someone from another church that's following a different way and say, well, it doesn't matter, there's one rule for my own members, but we can have this one, whatever they do, is totally inconsistent. The local church must be a pattern of oneness, unity in Christ and love one to another. It's not enough to say, well, we accept other brethren and can have them as friends in the Lord. Yes, we may, but it's a different thing to sit down in fellowship in the local church. That is the type of Christ. And so when we have the Lord adding unto the church, and we think of the, especially a local church, adding to that church, it is the Lord's work to do so, to place amongst that company already there, and in this chapter we read of 3,000 in one day, and the Lord then is then adding to that number. The work of salvation, the work of putting sinners amongst that number that are openly professed as believers, that is the Lord's work. And may we remember that. It's not man's work, it's God's work. We should be able to see the Lord's work in the matter. The Lord's work in the matter. Years ago, over in Australia, it was before I was in the church, but when I was in the church there, and in fact I took her funeral, a dear aged member lady, and when she came to be baptised, and she had been so blessed, and she said to the brethren, "Hinder me not." She had such a desire to join the church, a love to the church. But when she came to give her testimony, her mind went blank and she couldn't say anything. And she was completely put about. And at last she just stumbled out that she really felt herself a sinner. You know, salvation is not just on the negative side, it's to profess Christ and believe in Christ. But poor lady, her mind had gone complete blank. But in one sense, her testimony was hardly necessary, because her walk, her testimony had been seen and known and read of all men. It wasn't a surprise to the church. They'd watched it, they'd seen, they'd already had those sweet conversations with her, they'd already heard in the private of their homes and in fellowship what her testimony was. What a solemn thing if it was, if one came for membership of a church, to join with a church, and they had a wonderful, beautiful, eloquent testimony, but it came as a surprise to the other church members and it didn't add up with their life. They're much better. One with not much to say, but what they said was real and their life was real. And already there was a union between the members. When the Lord adds to the church, he is adding those that already have that which is common. They are loved by him, chosen by him, redeemed by him, the subject of his spirit. It's the Lord's work. Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. But then also the second thing we're told here, that he does it daily. Some of you young ones or children, you might think, well, the things of God only belong to one day of the week, just to a Sunday. They don't, you know. They don't, you know. If you and I are numbered amongst this church, it will be a 7-day-a-week religion. And the blessings the Lord blesses, yes, we count the Lord's day the best. It's a blessed day to gather together around the Word of God. It's a blessed thing to know the Lord comes every day and blesses every day. There might be some of you, you go home after the Lord's Day so disheartened, so down, you so hope the Lord and pray the Lord would bless you today. May you remember the Lord added to the church daily. And Lord, can come by his Spirit, bring to remembrance the word on the Monday or on the Tuesday. Visit you in your work. How many times I've had to come from my chair and pleading with the Lord for his blessing and felt so low and gone back to my labours and back to my work. One particular time I did. And no sooner as I started working, then I got something in my eye. And back into the house I went to try to get this out of my eye. And I couldn't, so I went to pray. And then I went to try and wash this thing out of my eye again. It was still painful. I couldn't get it out. And it came to me, go again 7 times. So I went again to pray. And then the Lord drew near and he so blessed my soul. And the tears flowed and it washed everything out of my eye. I couldn't get it out, but the tears did and the Lord did. And you know, the Lord knew what I wanted. And though I'd, as it were, given up, gone back to my labours, the Lord found a way and means, send me back to my knees, send me back to his throne and bless my soul. It's a blessed thing to remember. The Lord adds daily, daily. One of our hymns speaks, daily to feel thyself undone. And we feel that daily. But there's daily blessings as well. And those are sacred times when the Lord draws near, day by day. May we each here, you young ones, you children as well, seek the Lord daily. But then also, we are told here, he adds such as should be saved. Should be saved. Why should not they be? They are redeemed. They are already chosen. The price is paid. The two things go together here. The adding to the church and saving. The devil likes to separate things that God puts together, doesn't he? When the Lord saves his people, he joins them to the church. When he joins people to the church, it is those that are saved. May we remember that. Those that should be saved, those that will be saved, those that must be saved, they shall come, they must come. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Constrained, drawn, they should be saved. And they should be added. The Lord joins these things together. Don't let the devil say, well, yes, the Lord's worked in your heart a little, and he's given you favours and he's met you, but you shouldn't be a church member. You shouldn't join the church. The Lord's saving work is bound up with the church. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. He gathers his people. The soul is drawn to Christ and to his people being let go. They went unto their own company. But then what is the way that the Lord joins, the Lord adds to the church? Really, in this second of Acts, it's set forth before us, isn't it? The Lord uses the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Probably notice as we read this passage how the apostle is quoting from the Old Testament the prophecies. He's bringing before them the word of God. He's bringing also before them Christ's death, his sufferings, his crucifixion. He's bringing before them their sin and the reason why Christ suffered and their part in it. And then we see them convicted, pricked in their heart. It touches them. They cry out, what must they do to be saved? They know they are lost. They know their need of being saved. These things are set before us here in this chapter. Then we have the apostle bringing before them the gospel, the way of escape, the way of believing that Christ came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but should have eternal life. The way the Lord saves his people, he brings them down by conviction, down as sinners, and raises them up to a hope in the gospel, in God's work, in God's blessing. The Lord is he that opens and shuts. Opens, no man shuts, and shuts, and no man opens. Remember in the time that I was convicted under the law and brought in guilty, wherever I opened in the Word of God, it condemned me. I could read anywhere and it just condemned me. But then there came a time that the Lord changed it, and he shut that and he opened that, and I was finding the gospel in Old Testament, New Testament, wherever I turned, there was hope, there was Christ, there was the gospel. I thought, is this the same book? Is this the same Bible? The Lord opened my eyes to see that blessedness of the Word and how suitable that was to me. It's the Lord that opens eyes and ears to the gospel, and it drops into ground as parts dry ground, those living waters, and it's so precious. But also we read here, they that gladly received the word were baptized. How the Lord adds to the church, he makes those willing in the day of his power. They are drawn by love, not frightened, but drawn and made willing. Their language is, hinder me not. The language is that of the church is, wherefore standest thou without? Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. When the Lord builds his church, it all flows from love and it's cemented together in love. And that is for the strengthening of any local church when there's additions to it. And those additions, the church loves that person before they are coming. They love them in Christ. They see the grace of God. They see the work of God. And that person that has been added, they see the people of God as the Lord's people, the blessed of the Lord. And they love them in Christ. We know that we have passed from death unto life in that we love the brethren. It is that new, that blessed commandment of love. And that is how the Lord adds. He adds in this way of making a believer and giving him his crown. And when he makes a believer, then he also brings them as obedient children. And he puts them amongst his people. It's the Lord's work to do that. Do we know anything of these things? Anything of conviction? Anything of the good news of the gospel let known into our, down into our souls through the word? Do we know something of the love to the brethren and love to the Lord? Often think of dear Ruth, you know. She loved her mother-in-law. And that was really how all those blessings began. To be found with her and drawn with her. We read concerning the Lord and Martha and Mary and Lazarus. The Lord loved them and they loved him. Bless the Lord if he has dropped in your heart a little love to him and his dear people. They're my best friends. My kindred dwell. There God, my Saviour, reigns. You know, if you feel that concerning the Church of God, you want to be numbered amongst them. We love him because he first loved us. If we love God, then we also love them that are begotten of him. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You might say, is that happening in our day? Around the world, I believe it is, you know. Sometimes even in our own churches, we hear of those that are added up and around the country. It's a blessed thing when it comes nigh us, or if it is that the Lord sets his love upon us, and we say, why me? Why me? Why was I made to hear his voice and enter while his room, while millions make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? It would be so humbling. But the Lord still has a people, still is adding to his church daily, still is building up that innumerable multitude that shall at last be in heaven. But may we be numbered with them now, have right views of the church, and be truly united with the Lord and his dear people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £770, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Sayers is expected to preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Henry Mercer next Lord's Day, and our friends at Penstanton hold their prayer meeting for the nation on Friday evening. Let us close with hymn 735. Oh, the happiness arising from the life of grace within, when the soul is realizing conquest over hell and sin. Happy moments, heavenly joys on earth begin. 735.
Thank you.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all now and evermore. Amen.